book of Psalms 103. We've been in the book of Corinthians, but hey, it is Thanksgiving this week, and so we want to take some time and recognize some great things about Thanksgiving. You know, the psalmist David here is writing this, and he was a man that experienced so many highs and lows in life, and yet through all that, he really learned to say, thank you, Lord, for all those things. And so we can learn some great things from the psalmist as he gives thanks and really demands for us to give thanks as ourselves as well. So notice what the Bible says. Psalms 103, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his holy ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he hath removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Father, we are so thankful today for your blessings. We thank you, for the Lord, for the week that we will recognize as Thanksgiving, as we count our many blessings, as we just recognize what you have given us. Lord, I pray that we would all have a thankful heart. Now, Lord, I pray for myself this morning that I'd be focused, that I would not be distracted by my past, that I'd simply say those things that are needful and necessary, that we may all hear the word of God, that we may be changed, that we may be conformed to your image, that we may be a thankful people, that we may lift up your name in praise. Thank you, Lord, for all these things. Thank you for that promise again, that when your word goes forth, it will not come back void. We ask all this now in Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's Thanksgiving, but I'd like to read something that I found some years ago. Kind of relates to this. Thanksgiving festivity. It says, the turkey shot out of the oven and rocketed into the air. It knocked off every plate on the table and partly demolished a chair. It ricocheted into the corner and burst with a deafening boom, then splattered all over the kitchen, completely obscuring the room. There was turkey stuck to the walls and turkey covering the floor. There was turkey attached to the ceiling where turkey had never been before. It blanketed every appliance. It smeared every saucer and bowl. There wasn't a way to stop it. That turkey was out of control. As I scraped and scrubbed with displeasure and thought with chagrin as I mopped that I would never stuff a turkey with popcorn that had not been popped. I like that. And you know, we come to celebrate Thanksgiving, and it is a great time to recognize our blessings. But if you're not careful, your mind will focus on some things that are good, like I think about in 1621 when the pilgrims came, and there was a great time of hardship, and yet the Lord provided through the natives and those other things, and how they recognize and bless the Lord. And so if you're not careful, you'll even get away from that, and you'll think, well, this is just a day of fun, a time of awful work, a time of eating turkey and food and those things, which are all good. But really, we must go back and recognize that true Thanksgiving doesn't come from a Thanksgiving day, but comes from the Lord himself. And we need to recognize today how God desires us to be a thankful people, not just on one day, but really every day. So how can we? Well, as we look at this passage, there's some things that will show us how to be thankful for everything. The first thing I'd like for you to see there is the demand for Thanksgiving. The demand for Thanksgiving. The psalmist says in verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, if you're like me, we tend to think about blessings coming from the Lord. We tend to say, Lord, bless us. And so every blessing comes from him. So you may not think that you can bless the Lord above. Matter of fact, someone may say, well, we can't bless God, for he has no need of anything. And while that is true, our life lived for the Lord becomes a blessing that goes before our Father. And so we must recognize that the Lord desires, even demands, that we be a thankful people. And so notice this, thanksgiving must be personal. Again, he says, oh, my soul. And so we must recognize today that we should personally thank the Lord. You know, we're good as a nation to have a Thanksgiving Day. We as a nation celebrate that last Thursday of November as Thanksgiving Day. And so as a nation, we do good with that. As a community, we're going to celebrate in our schools. Matter of fact, I like how the teachers come home and they've been teaching the kids how to draw the little turkey. They use their hands. So we as a community do that. As a church, we have a Thanksgiving time. We give Thanksgiving baskets out. As a family, we will enjoy gathering together to enjoy Thanksgiving. But do we personally say thank you to the Lord? Do we have some time that we gather by ourselves, just us and the Lord, just me and the Lord, and say thank you, Lord? We must recognize that the Lord desires Thanksgiving from ourselves. There's a clear demand that we should bless the Lord, that we should simply come before Him personally with thanksgiving. So the question is, have you given thanks to the Lord? Have you been a blessing to the Lord? Can you say, my life is a blessing to the Lord because you have given Him thanks? Thanksgiving must be personable, but also thanksgiving must be powerful. Notice again, verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. And notice this, and all that is within me, all that is within me. That means every fiber will bless the Lord. Then the Apostle Paul, when he writes the book of Romans, he says in chapter 1, I think it's in verse 15, he says, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel of Christ. As much as in me is. In other words, everything about him, he was ready to preach. And so the psalmist is saying, as much as in me is, we should bless the Lord. We must come before the Lord and surely be sincere in our thanksgiving. Have you ever had a half-hearted apology? Somebody maybe offended you and they come before you. It's maybe when you're kids and your brother offended you or something, you got in a fight and your mama said, tell him you're sorry. And he goes, I'm sorry. Been there? Maybe you did that last week with somebody. Amen. A half-hearted apology means nothing. And so a half-hearted thank you before the Lord probably means nothing as well. I wonder, do we truly give thanks as we should? Do we come before the Lord with all that is in us, all that has filled us, and say thank you for these things? You say, well, how can I do that? There's some things that you can do. I believe that the scripture makes a clear point. One is by singing, make a joyful noise. The psalmist said in Psalms 13:6, I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt me bountifully. Psalms 89:1, I will sing of the mercy of the Lord forever. With my mouth will make known the faithfulness to all generations. Psalms 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Psalms 109:30, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Yea, I'll praise him among the multitudes. I'm telling you, there's a clear picture that we must sing forth our praises to God. Now, I know we like to sing in church, but do you sing outside of church? I tell you, some of the best times in my life of praise and closeness to the Lord is just me by myself, away from everybody else singing. That's usually the best way I sing because I don't want to hurt anybody else's ears. But the Lord surely finds our praise like that worthy and good. Do we sing before Him? You say, that's all Old Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. We should sing praises to God, singing hymns about God and what He has done for us. But not just singing, they're sharing. You got to give as you've been blessed. We need to give back. When you have been given, you should give back. Somebody wrote this years ago, must I give and keep on giving all my life through? No, replied the angel, just stop giving when God stops giving to you. And so what do we give? We give of our time to begin with. God has given us so many hours, so many days. We should give of ourselves. We should give our time. One of the biggest ministry killers is selfishness. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to go here. I don't have time to be bothered. I don't have time. Let me just tell you, God's given you the time. You ought to use it for His honor and glory with all that you are. Not just with your time. How about with your treasures? And I know some people are, oh, preacher, you ought to not preach on giving. Well, let me just say, if God's given, you ought to give back. Someplace, some way, somehow, you ought to give how God's given to you, and you ought to honor that. How about your talents? Man, I'm telling you, if we would all use our talents for the glory of God, man, what would happen to this place and to this nation if we would simply use our talents and give your testimony? One of the things that we fail to do as believers is we don't share our testimony. Sometimes we're good about doing this and this and this, but when's the last time you sincerely honored God by sharing your testimony of what God has done in your life? This lost community, this lost state, this lost nation, this lost world needs for believers who have been blessed by God to share what God is doing in their life. We should share our life with the Lord by doing these things. Thirdly, how about submitting ourselves to the Word of God? Not just singing, not just sharing, but submitting ourselves to the Word of God, soaking up the Word. And so many times we find ourselves not really wanting to do that. I heard about it. I think I've told you about the little boy that came to church. And first time, and so his grandma was asking him after the church service, well, how'd you like church for the first time? And the little boy said, man, the sing was great, but the commercial was a little bit too long. Sometimes we fail to recognize one of the greatest things we have is the Word of God. And when we submit to the Word of God, how it changes our life and how it honors Him. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Somebody else has said that the imitation is the highest form of flattery. The greatest praise you can receive is when somebody tries to be like you. And let me just tell you, when you follow the Word of God, when you do what the Word says, you are acting like the Lord Himself, because that is what He desires from us. Thomas Carlyle said this, show me the man that you honor, and I will know what kind of man you are. He was a Scottish guy in the early 1700s, 1800s. But he recognized that who you act like, who you honor, is the kind of person you are. I wonder today, do we truly soak up the Word and live out our faith through that? But the fourth thing is a satisfied attitude. Notice verse 5. The psalmist said, who satisfies my mouth with good things. It's taken me a long time to learn this, but satisfaction does not come with having plenty, but it comes with the idea I have enough. Let me say that again. Satisfaction does not come with the idea of having plenty. It comes with the idea that I have enough. I've seen some with more stuff than a person could involve themselves in 10 lifetimes and be miserable. And yet I've seen somebody that only had enough to last the day that was satisfied, that he had enough in Christ Jesus. Again, true satisfaction is not determined by what you have, but really how satisfied you are in Christ. Paul writes this in the book of Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Let me say that again. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound in everything, in all places. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, I have learned. I'm telling you, Paul was not magically transformed and just boom, he knew how to be content. No, through his life in Christ, he learned to be satisfied with whatever God had sent his way. Oh, if we could just get this idea of satisfaction. It's sad today the health and wealth preachers are saying this is going to be your best year ever. It's a focus on this idea of prosperity. It's this idea, oh, you're going to get this great blessing. You're going to have an abundance. I'm telling you, be careful. Jesus said this about himself. The foxes have holes and the birds there have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head, in Luke chapter 9, verse 58. He was a man that we would not consider rich by any means, and yet he had all that he could ever have. I wonder today, are we satisfied with the things that God has given us? Thanksgiving is a good day, except for the fact that the next day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday sales start. And let me just say it like this. I know some of you say, oh, man, I don't want to go shopping that day. But what happens is we turn our eyes from Thanksgiving when we recognize our supply and what we have to the next day to what we don't have. Let us focus on this idea. And I'm not knocking Black Friday shopping, but I'm trying to make this point that we should focus on what we have and recognize that all this came from God, and we should be satisfied with that. And so the Lord gives us that demand, be thankful. So I wonder today, are we truly thankful for those things? Have we come to a point when we said thank you for all things in the way we live our life with singing and sharing and those things? There is a demand we should follow through. Notice the second point, not just the demand of thanksgiving, but now the desire of thanksgiving. Why are we thankful? simply because he is blessed indeed. Notice again, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Verse 4, who redeems thy life from destruction and crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Just know this, that all good things come from the Lord above. James says in James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, every good thing comes from God. Now, the writer says benefits. We recognize these are blessings. And so our desire should be to say thank you for every blessing that comes our way. The problem is sometimes we fail to see those blessings. We fail to have the right sight. We forget to recognize the blessings that are right there in front of us. I heard a great story about a church service kind of like this, and they were honoring this young man that has lost his life in the military. Matter of fact, his parents decided to have a memorial service and want to give a large sum of money to further the church. And so it was a tremendous service, and they were talking about this man that had given his life, and the parents were there and everything. And so there was another parent that said this, leaned over to her husband, said, we should give the same amount of money for our son. And the father said, what are you talking about? Our son did not pass away in the war. And she said, exactly, we should be thankful. Sometimes we don't know what we have until they're gone. Sometimes we fail to recognize the blessing that is right there in front of us. Let us recognize and see all the blessings that he has given us. And he names about three right here. And so I want to take these in reverse order. One, we should see the benefits of food. Verse 5 says this, who satisfies thy mouth with good things. I think old David must have been Baptist. Amen. He liked food. He recognized, though, that his food came from the Lord. He recognized that the Lord supplied those things that he needed. He recognized that God was the giver of every good gift. So many times in our day, we look around and say, well, I have all I need. I don't need the Lord to supply. I can go down to Walmart. I can go down to Publix. I can go down to the Jiffy store. I don't need anything. Let me just tell you, let the Lord withhold rain for about 3 years like he did in the days of those. Let him stop sending his mercy and grace. Let the shelves of the grocery stores drop, and you'll recognize that we do need God. God is the one that supplies, not anything else. I'm reminded of those Israelites blessed with manna for nearly 40 years as they wandered in the wilderness. And so he has given us that bread that we need. He supplies those things that we need for our sustenance. So we need to see the benefits of food, but secondly, we need to see the benefits of his forgiveness. Verse 4 says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. David could easily look back at his life and see his missteps, as the world would call them. He recognized that without the Lord, he would have great suffering. And if it were not for the Lord's redemption and mercy and grace, there would be great destruction in his life. I'm reminded that life is hard because of sin. Adam's sin started the curse. Our sin continues to prop up its consequences. Somebody said, don't preach so hard against sin, you'll drive people away. Let me encourage you this. I'm not ever here to condemn sin. I'm not ever here to say you're wrong or you're wrong or you're wrong. But I am here to say the Bible says it's wrong. And if you don't do it God's way, life will be so hard. If you don't do it God's way, life will be miserable. If you don't do it God's way, life will have consequences that are not good. And so I'm telling you, in this life there is destruction if you don't follow his word. Galatians says this in Galatians chapter 6, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that he shall also reap. And so, my friends, if you're not doing it God's way this morning, turn from that and turn to his way, and you will find what you need. But also, destruction of the life to come. He says again in verse 4, redeemed us from destruction. If you jump to verse 10, it says, he has not dealt with us after our sin to reward us according to our iniquities. I'm here to tell you, God did not overlook their sins. He held them accountable. God made them accountable for sins, and yet God sent a sacrifice to take care of them in the Old Testament. That was the sacrifice of the Lamb. And so they had to offer that sacrifice year by year by year by year. But finally, we get to a point where Christ comes, the perfect Lamb of God, and he becomes the sacrifice and removes our sins. I'm just going to say it Paul Osteen would bust hell wide open without the redemption of Christ Jesus. And so will you. I wonder today, will you take up that great offering of forgiveness of sins when he says, not rewarded us according to our iniquities? You say, oh, he wouldn't really forgive me all the things I've done. Let me back up just for a moment on David. David was a young man, goodly in the eyes of God, called out as a sheep herder and raised him up to a king, blessed him. And yet we find in David's life an adulterous life, a murderous life, a liar. He did so many things against God. And yet we always find him coming back, asking forgiveness, and God always being faithful to forgive those sins. That God surely had this idea that he would take away his sins because of what David did, asking for forgiveness. That's why it says in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far he removed our transgressions from us. How great that is. As far as the east from the west. Do you know what? God doesn't say that I removed your transgressions from the north to the south. And the reason being, if you're going south, at some point, you're going to start going north. But if you're going east or west, it doesn't matter. You just keep right on going. And so he separated those, not just from point to point, but from everlasting to everlasting. God has forgiven and removed our sin. You say, well, how can I get this forgiveness? Look at verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Fear is yare in the Hebrew there. It means a sense of awesomeness and a great sense of fear. It brings the idea that God is the one who is truly God, and we must surrender ourselves. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so the idea is that when we have sin, we are burdened down. But if we'll come to Christ confessing our sins, if we'll come to Christ asking for help, if we'll come to Christ by faith, he forgives those sins and separates them as far as the east is from the west. We ought to thank him for his forgiveness. See, we need to see the benefits of his favor. Again, verse 4, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Loving kindness and tender mercies. The goodness and mercy of God. Verse 13 is, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I'm not sure what kind of father David had. We know about Jesse. We don't know what kind of father he was. But I can tell you this, I know what kind of father I had. My dad loved me. My dad cared for me. My dad worked for me in one sense to do anything that I may have, the right things. My dad truly poured his life into me. There's one thing, my dad was not perfect, but there's one thing I know about my father, that he loved me. And that's what the psalmist is saying. Our father loves us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Man, how good that is, that we can reach out and call him Father. The Bible says in Romans 8:38, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? When we recognize that God our Father loves us and is for us, man, how great it is, the favor of God. So let me ask you, have you had a time of thanksgiving when thinking about all your blessings? Have you said thank you for the bounty of food? Have you said thank you for the great forgiveness he bestows upon you? Have you said thank you for the favor that God has given you? We surely should. Well, notice the last point I want you to see. Not just the demand of thanksgiving and the desire of thanksgiving, but the destination of thanksgiving. Where does all this thanksgiving go? And you could say a lot of things, but I just want to bring out four real quick. One, it goes before our family. When you read verse 17, it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and is righteous unto children's children. The Lord's mercy goes for generations. And I'm here to tell you, our thanksgiving does too. Just as the Lord's mercy is evident to the generations, so is our thanksgiving. Show me a kid that complains a lot, and I can probably show you some parents that complain a lot. Show me a kid that acts a certain way, and probably I can show you some parents that act a certain way. You in the school system, you recognize this next generation of kids. And we always say that, what's wrong with this next generation of kids? I'm telling you, there's a fundamental change in the life of people because they're not recognizing who is God and how God has transformed our lives. Thankfulness starts at home. If your children see you grumble, they will grumble. If they see you rejoice, they will rejoice. Our thanksgiving goes before our family, but also our thanksgiving goes before our fellow man. It doesn't take long to get out in the community and see those that are positive and those that are negative. Those that truly are thankful and those that cannot stand anything. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. I wonder today, as you leave this place here in a few minutes and you go, maybe you're going to the restaurant, will somebody that is waiting on you see a thankful person, or somebody that is lacking gratitude? Will they see somebody that is truly filled with the Lord and thankful for every situation, or see something else? Our thanksgiving goes before our fellow man. But it doesn't stop there. Also, it goes before our foe, Satan. Now, it doesn't say in this particular chapter, but let me remind you that whatever we say, the enemy is there to see. And what comes out of us, they see that. Matter of fact, it says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, O generations of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? Notice this, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. Satan is not a mind reader, but he can sure see what you say and do. Peter says this in 1 Peter 5:8, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. You've probably heard me say this before. When all that griping and complaining comes out, there's one that watches, and it is the enemy of God's people. Have you ever seen a National Geographic show? I'm sure you have, where all the lions and are out there, and then you got the zebras running around, and the lions are sneaking up. You know, the one they always sneak up on and catch is the one that's either weak or sick. The rest of them that are strong run away, but the weak and the sickly are the prey for the lions. I'm going to suggest to you, the Christian that always complains is the weak and sickly one. The Christian that always gripes about everything is the weakly and sickly one. The one that has no defense. Satan is surely going to be after you. Why not be a people of praise? Why not lift up the praise of God? Why not simply shout loud how good God is and watch the foe run? But it doesn't stop there. It also goes before our Father, not just our family, not just our fellow man, not just our foe, but our thanksgiving goes before our Father. When you enter in a time of true thanksgiving, then these praises bring you to the very throne of God. The psalmist said in Psalms 99, verse 5, Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Psalms 100, verse 4, Enter to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful in him and bless his name. Psalms 22:3, But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel, or the praise of his people. I wonder today, will we be a thankful people that praise his name? Some of the worst consequences in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, some of the harshest words spoken against are those in Romans chapter 1 about a people that have turned away. And it names all these terrible sins in Romans chapter 1. Notice another sin that we kind of push away. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then the rest of the sins follow. Let me just say this. When we become unthankful, when we fail to give God praise, when we fail to honor him, when we fail to give him our life with all that we are unthankful. And oh, how terrible a sin that is. So let me ask, has your thanksgiving today been pleasing to the Father? Has your thanksgiving this week been pleasing to the Lord? Has your thanksgiving this year been pleasing to the God who gave all things? We should be thankful. Let me close with this. I wonder, how can we be? And it goes back to what the psalmist said, with all that I am, I will bless the Lord. I'm reminded of a great little story about little Jenny. She was a five-year-old girl, and so she was in the grocery store with her mother, and she looked over there and saw these fake pearl bracelets, and she was so excited, and she said, "Mom, can you buy that for me?" And her mom says, "Well, they're $2.50. That's kind of expensive. I tell you what, I will buy them if you'll do some chores and pay Mama back." She said, "Okay." Well, it wasn't long. She did all of her housework. She did this and that for about 3 or 4 weeks. She paid off those pearl bracelets, and she wore those fake pearl bracelets everywhere. She wore them to school. She wore them to church. She wore them to bed. She didn't wear them to the bathtub because her mama said that would tear her wrist green, and so that's the only place. One night, her dad came in there, and her dad always came in every night and read bedtime stories. And at the end of one bedtime story, Dad said, "Jenny, can I have your pearls?" She said, "Oh, no, Dad, not my pearls. Take my pony, my play pony ribbons. You can have ribbons." He said, "No, that's okay." About a week later, he came in again after he does this every day, but this week ended. "Jenny, can I have your pearls?" "No, Dad, not my pearls. Take my doll, Samantha. I love Samantha, but you can have her." "That's okay, Jenny." The next week he came in reading the book, but this time, instead of being up there, right, there was Jenny with the pearls in her hands, lips trembling. And she said, "Here, Dad, here's my pearls." And he said, "I've been waiting on you to do that a long time." He reached and grabbed the pearls and put those in his pocket. And with his other hand, reached in his pocket and pulled out some real pearls and said, "These are you. I've been waiting for you to give me that." Can I tell you how God is? God is so waiting for us to simply say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that I am. I am yours. Take me." It may scare you to death, but I'm telling you, God's got a great blessing. You have not experienced blessings until you have submitted to the will of God. Oh, what he has for us. And one day we will stand before him and say, "Thank you, Lord." It all starts today. I wonder, will you be a thankful people? Will you bless the name of the Lord? We'll ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Blessings always start with the Lord. He always does what he does. But he always invites us to be a part of that. So maybe you're here today and you've not experienced God's greatness. You've not experienced his goodness. You can. The Bible says this, "For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved." God is calling. I wonder, will you respond by calling back? Will you respond by saying yes? By faith, believing that he died, rose again to give life to all that call upon him. If you're here today and never said yes to Christ, why not say yes to the Lord today? Matter of fact, when we begin to sing, why not walk down that aisle and say, "Brother Paul, I don't know all the details, but I do know this. I believe that Christ is my Lord and Savior." For others of you, you've done that, but somehow you've gotten this idea of what's yours is yours, and you've withheld your time and your talents and your treasures and your testimony, and you're not living a life of blessing to the Lord. Why not commit right where you sit today that I will live for him fully, as much as in me is, I will bless the Lord. Maybe this morning it's church membership and God said, "This is the place that you need to be plugged into to bless the Lord's name, to gather here, to be sent out to the community, to be a blessing for others." We'll take you just as you are. Maybe it's prayer at this altar. Maybe you want to pray for somebody. Whatever it is, don't miss the opportunity to be a blessing to the Lord above. Father, we love you. We thank you for all your blessings. We recognize that every good gift comes from you. We recognize that all these things come from a Father that loves us so much. Help us, Lord, to be thankful in every way. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.